Hello everyone, welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. Today I am so happy to share with you an amazing gentleman, Brett Bevel. Brett is the author of multiple fantastic books as well as two poetry books. Brett is a winner of the 1995 Paul Lawrence Dunbar Poetry Prize. He is also the author of the book of collected poems of Thee I Sing. Brett teaches regularly at the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies in Rhinebeck, New York, and at the Sanctuary in Koh Phangan, Thailand. He has been a visiting teacher at Esalen Institute and presented at Alex Gray's Chapel of the Sacred Mirrors, formerly in New York City. I want to say welcome, Brett. I am so honored to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really enjoy, talking to you. So thanks for having me back.
Oh, you're so welcome. And for those of you that have not heard his prior show, he was a guest of mine on my Voice America show, For the Love of Reiki. So feel free to check that out as well. It was just fantastic. Brett, let's begin with just a touch of your background and what brought you into the work of healing energy.
Sure. So my journey with energy healing began in the early 1990s. I was living in New York City. I was an employee at a health food store. And I ended up having a dental experience where I had a wisdom tooth pulled at the NYU Dental Center, which basically meant it was being pulled by a dental student who wasn't a full-fledged dentist yet. And he was really rough with my mouth. And after that experience, I was in a lot of pain, and I probably looked like I'd been punched in the mouth by Muhammad Ali or somebody with a good right hook. And I had the luck or good fortune of having a roommate who happened to be a Reiki practitioner. And even though he never really spoke about Reiki, I didn't know what Reiki was. When I went home that evening, he took one look at me and offered to do a treatment on me. And so from that moment forward, I was just really blown away by the experience. I felt a connection to the divine and a connection to divine grace in a way that I had never experienced before. And it alleviated my suffering in such a profound way that I wanted to go on and learn Reiki. So that's how my journey began, was with Reiki. And then from there, by 1995, I was a Reiki master and then just began exploring other energy healing modalities as well. So it's been, a 20-plus year journey for me as an energy healer.
I love it. I love it. I personally just believe Reiki and energy healing is just life-changing. It's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. Brett, what is the most important thing for you about energy healing?
For me, what I really love about energy healing is, at least the modalities that I've been trained in, Reiki and vortex healing and the magical awakening work that's the subject of my recent book, The Wizard's Guide to Energy Healing, the belief in all those systems is that the energy is coming from the divine, and it's always going to be working for the highest good. So that really allows the practitioner and the person who's receiving to kind of just let go and have to worry about, oh, are they doing it right, or is this going to harm me in some way? Yes, one can have, issues come up to the surface when you're receiving an energy healing, but that's also going to be for the highest good. So it's just that sense of knowing that it's always working for the highest good and that there's a divine intelligence in the energy itself is something that I feel is really quite profound.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I just love the fact that Reiki energy, we can just relax and let that run through us, be the vessel, and it goes where needed. It's so, so amazing, Brett. Why have you been so drawn to energy healing?
Well, for me, a lot of it has to do with my own, personal journey in the sense that, I came from a very abusive background in terms of my childhood. It was very dysfunctional, a lot of physical abuse, sexual abuse, and just it was very dysfunctional in many, many ways. And even though I did kind of do the regular sort of route of, going into therapy and 12-step groups and things like that, and all of that was beneficial. I'm not trying to put that down. But it feels to me like it really wasn't until I got into energy healing that I was really able to clear those energetic cords between me and those people who had been abusive towards me in my past. And I really feel it was in that, in being able to sort of clear that energetic space and clear the timeline of that history, that I really just began to then really feel whole and really feel myself. You know, until then, it was kind of like, you know, I was definitely improving with talk therapy and that more traditional work, but it was really with the world of energy healing that I really felt like I came into a place of true wholeness and happiness.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that. And something I've been very excited to ask you about, having mm-hmm. read several of your books, is, and have you share with the listeners, what is this form of energy healing that you have founded called Magical Awakening?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that, because it's really, I love energy healing and I love all the forms that I've worked with, but there's something about Magical Awakening that it just is really very precious to me. And it's basically, there's a very playful element to it. And it's connected to Merlin. So it's connected to Merlin in that sense of, you know, the energies of ancient Avalon and Celtic shamanic practice. And there's just a playful, whimsical aspect to it. When the best way I can explain it is, especially when you get up to level 2 and beyond, it just feels to me like I'm in this sort of energetic jazz improv with the divine. And I'm just literally just playing with sort of that energy the same way a musician might sort of riff on different notes. And not even thinking about somebody needing to be healed or needing to be fixed, not even thinking about anything being broken. It just goes into this pure realm of play and joy. And yet some of the most powerful healings I've experienced and my clients have experienced are from this lineage, the Magical Awakening lineage. So it's just a very beautiful and very playful style of energy healing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And also, Brett, in your book, yeah. The Magical Awakening, about a magical awakening, which is titled The Wizard's Guide to Energy Healing. Are you the wizard?
Well, I'm a wizard. I would say I'm a wizard, but the book really kind of makes you a wizard. If you go through the steps of the book, the idea is that you become sort of what I call in the later part of the book, a sovereign wizard. And what I mean by that term is that you gain access to these divine energies, and when you can use them to literally clear aspects of your own karmic body, it's kind of like you then become sovereign of your own destiny. You are able to release things that may have been obstacles to you in the past. And once that is all released, then you have a sense of freedom and your life becomes much more magical. So I kind of really think of the book as kind of empowering us all to be wizards. And at the same time, I also want to acknowledge that I really do feel like it comes from that great wizard Merlin, who for me, I just see as being sort of that masculine aspect of divine, magical, healing consciousness.
Oh, I love that. For listeners that aren't familiar with karmic energy, would you explain mm-hmm. that a little bit for us, please?
Sure. So we all have different energetic bodies. You know, there's the mental body, the emotional body, but we also have a karmic body. And in the karmic body, which, you know, is often somewhat dense energetically, that's where our past actions are held. And also not just our past actions, but sort of the cumulative ripples and cumulative, if you want to even think of it, sort of energetic shapes of those actions can be held there. And through bringing in divine energy into the karmic body, you are able to release a lot of that. You can't always release 100% of it. You can definitely release a lot to really gain a sense of pure emotional and mental freedom, where you just no longer feel bound to compulsive ways of being. So the best way I can describe it is, let's say, for example, maybe you're somebody who's has a bad time with relationships, and you always happen to get into a relationship where your heart gets broken. Maybe that's based on some past karmic pattern that is being held energetically in your system. So once you bring enough divine light into your energetic system to release that pattern, then you're no longer going to be drawn to that person or to those people who are going to be the one that ends up breaking your heart. So once that's released, then you can really operate from a place of freedom and just, you know, pick and choose from a true, authentic place, as opposed to being held in a place of compulsion and acting out in a way that you're not even consciously aware of.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. And, you know, getting that freedom can be so life-changing and really affect where we go from there, can't it?
Oh, yeah, in a profound way. I mean, again, I was talking about, you know, my own path earlier in the show, and, you know, one of the more powerful experiences I had was after doing a lot of my own inner work, going back to where I had been raised as a child, and actually going back in, which was in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it used to be, you know, 10 years before that, if I had gone there, I would just experience, like, severe migraine headaches and just be miserable. But, you know, the last time I was there, I went and I looked at the house where I had been raised, where, you know, it really had been a quite traumatic place for me as a child. And it was, for me, it was literally had no charge to it. It was like looking at a glass of water. I mean, there was no charge. I wasn't upset. I wasn't bothered. I wasn't sad. I wasn't, you know, it was just totally neutral. And I felt like I was finally free of sort of that energetic ghost, if you want to think of it, that had sort of been haunting me for so many years. And it was gone, and I was free from it. And so, again, that's the kind of power that I see in a lot of these forms of energy healing. It can really clear things in such a profound way. So that's, you know, that's why I want to make this work as available as I can to as many people as I can.
What a difference that makes for others. And yes, it's so powerful. We are going to pop out in just a moment here to commercial, Brett. Could you please share your website information with the listeners and tell them how they can get access to your wonderful books?
Sure. So my website is www.brettbevell.com. And also all my books are available on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and hopefully even at your local retailer. But yeah, Amazon is certainly probably the easiest way to find me.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, everyone, we will be right back, and Brett and I will share some more information about his beautiful magical awakening. Brett, thank you, and we'll be right back.
Thanks.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paul Levee here. Today, I am chatting with Brett Bevell, the amazing author and energy healer, and we are sharing some great information. Brett is just opening up to so many who have not heard of his healing energy, the energy healing that he has created called Magical Awakening. I love it. I love it. It's so fascinating, Brett.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It is. And I would love to ask, listeners love stories.
Uh-huh.
What is the most magical thing you have experienced with this magical awakening energy?
Yeah, for me, I would say it probably relates to my son, who's now 14 months old. And during the whole time that he was in the womb, I would send energy healing treatments to him. And he is such a beautiful and amazing boy. I mean, my wife and I both feel extremely lucky, and we have people comment all the time on what, not if he's just physically beautiful, but there's just this sort of resonance from his soul that just captures people and is captivating. And for me, I really feel, you know, a large part of that, you know, it has to do with not only his genetic code and his you know, soul history, but also that he was literally being bathed in this divine light for most of the time that he was in the womb. And so I think that adds certainly to his own little magic sparkle that he brings into this world. And so for me, that's the most magical thing that I've experienced from the energy healing.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm just so excited over this, the work you do and what you teach. Would it be possible for you to give the listeners a short sample?
Yeah, I could do a short sample for like a minute or two. So what I would just do is I would invite anybody who's listening to this to just make sure you're seated or in a comfortable position, maybe even lying down, depending on where you're listening to this at. And I'm just going to begin by sending out some energy of what I call the element of fire, which one can gain from the second level of the book. So I'm just sending out some elemental fire just to kind of cleanse everybody's chakras and meridians. And then what I'm going to do is bring you all into what I call a magical jewel of the Grail, which is like sort of a divine bubble of consciousness. And then I'm going to bring in some Excalibur energies to everybody who's listening to this audio recording. And Excalibur tends to be a very fierce energy that just kind of works on the karmic body and helps release things that are ready to be released. So we're just going to do this short healing. So you can send your energies out now. And again, this is just sort of a short energetic sample. And then I'm going to bring through some higher level energy, just kind of create an energetic structure to just help you integrate. And may this healing be for the highest good, and also may you integrate it in the way that's best for you and most appropriate. So sending that energy out. Now, and then I'm going to finish with just a sprinkle of one of my favorite energies in the book that I call Mist of Avalon, which has one purpose, which is to take the person who's receiving it just deeper into that sense of the mystery of the divine. So we're just going to end with sprinkling in some Mist of Avalon energies to anybody who's listening to this right now. That's just a little, sort of just a short energetic taste of some of this work. And, you know, again, anybody can learn the first three levels from the book, The Wizard's Guide to Energy Healing. As an overall system, there are eight levels, but the first three levels one can gain from the book.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, how fun was that? Oh, how wonderful. I love it. And I'm thrilled that you mentioned the Grail. That happens to be a question I had for you.
Uh-huh.
Your book talks about the Grail and teaches you how to access energy from the Grail.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mean the Holy Grail, like the one in the legends of King Arthur?
I do believe that the energy is connected to that. Yes, I do. So the way it manifests in the Wizard Healer is in the area sort of just in front of the heart chakra, sort of in the energy of the center of the chest. And from there, once you're empowered, which happens at the first level in the book, once you're empowered, you can then access from that an energy that we call the Grail. And to me, I really do believe that it is carrying that same energetic vibration of the Holy Grail, which has this deeply restorative healing component to it. So that's part of the first level training that one gets from the book.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Your book also talks about Excalibur,
mm-hmm.
a sword of divine light. Can you tell us more about the sword of divine light?
Sure. So the way Excalibur showed itself to me was a sword of divine light that, if you could see it energetically, would exist about 6 inches in front of the line of your chakras, with the handle being down sort of about 6 inches in front of the root chakra, and then the very tip of the sword being about 6 inches in front of the crown chakra, and just sort of sitting out in front of the person who's been empowered to it in that way. And as a practitioner, there's two ways you can use it once you're empowered. One is to just simply visualize whoever or whatever you're working on inside that sword of light, just sort of visualizing it. And the other way that one can access it is that in the second level in the system, you get energetic access to something I call Merlin's Wand, which means simply with a wave of your hand, you can access certain energies. So the practitioner can also access Excalibur through Merlin's Wand. So simply with a wave of their hand, begin sending this quite powerful energy either towards themselves or towards somebody else who's the recipient of the healing.
Oh, I love it. Oh, fascinating. I would also, Brett, love to touch on what it is that you talk about with working with elemental energies. Please tell
sure.
us about that.
Sure, yeah. So in the book, you can be empowered at the second level to four elements, the element of earth, air, fire, and water, and also a fifth element, which is the Mist of Avalon energy of simply bringing a person deeper into that sense of divine mystery. The other four elements, so for example, the element of earth, really good for grounding, centering the person. Element of air kind of rules the mental body and good for bringing a person into a sense of mental peace. Element of water ruling the emotional body. And the element of fire ruling that sense of will, but also being very good for cleansing. But the really beautiful thing about all of those is you can also tap into any subset of any of those elements. So, for example, you could run the element of earth just to help ground and center a person, or you could run the element of earth as any particular gemstone or any crystal. You could run the energy of rose quartz or malachite or hematite. If you know a lot about, you know, gemstones and crystals, you could really integrate that very deeply into the healing. You could also, you know, access the element of earth as a particular power point on the planet, such as, you know, the Grand Canyon or the vortexes of Sedona. And I've actually posted some healings online where I actually do that, you know, using these elemental energies to bring in energies of, you know, the pyramids of Egypt and things like that. And it seems true with the element of air. So the element of air, not as it just, you know, air to, you know, soothe the mind, but you can use the element of air to bring in the vibration of different sounds, including different sounds of prayers and mantras, and bringing those energetic signatures into the healing. So it's literally like feeling like you have the universe at your fingertips once you have that empowerment, because then you can bring in all of these different varieties of energetic signatures. And if you think of it, you know, when you think of life, I mean, sometimes, yes, sometimes maybe the healing is when you go to a healer, and maybe sometimes the healing is just when you went to the beach or you climbed that mountaintop and you suddenly felt connected again. And now you can energetically bring those places to you or to the person that you're doing the healing on. So it really adds such a beautiful element of so many possibilities that's why it almost has to be playful, because there's so many options. There's no way you could possibly think about them all. So you're just going to have to surrender and play with the divine.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That is so beautiful. Now we are down to just a couple moments left, Brett. I would love to ask you, what is your vision of this beautiful work, this beautiful work that you teach and you share with others?
Sure. So for me, I think that the real vision of it is it kind of pulls you into just a sense of playing with the divine. And when you go into that sense of like being like this magical child that's just playing with the divine, that sense of any sense of being broken or needing to be fixed, it just kind of falls away. And I find that as a healer, that's what I cherish the most about this. When I'm doing a healing on an individual or a group, I often do a lot of group healings, just that sense of joy that happens with this modality, again, it just really, I love other forms of energy healing, but this one, that sense of playfulness is just so precious that it just makes me feel like I'm just this absolute innocent child of the divine. And in knowing that, it's just so beautiful and healing, you know?
You are just such a gift to others. I am going to throw one more quick question out
sure.
there.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's very fascinating.
Yeah.
Your book has a touchscreen healing quality to it, where you simply touch an image and receive an empowerment or a healing.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the wave of the future in terms of energy healing?
I mean, I do think it's certainly there, you know. Certainly the images and the book is quite powerful. There's also images in the cover that, you know, we didn't talk about in the printed version, but the things you can touch on the cover that also just send you energy healing. And certainly I think that's, you know, that's one avenue of bringing the healing out to more people. You know, I wouldn't see it as being an exclusive thing that all energy healing needs to be touchscreen per se. But I think it's just one more avenue to bring it out to as many people as possible and to make it accessible to as many people as possible.
Oh, fantastic. Brett, thank you so much for today.
Thank you.
This has been so fantastic. I am so thrilled to share you with my listeners. And to all the listeners out there, oh, you're so welcome. And thank you to the listeners in the U.S. and around the world. Thank you for being with us. Love, hugs, blessings, and a happy day to everyone. Brett, a happy day and love, hugs, and blessings.
Oh, thank you again for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome. Goodbye, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Thank you for joining me today. I am so happy to share with you today an amazing woman, good friend. She has been a guest on my Voice America show, For the Love of Reiki, several times, and I just adore her. With us today is Rose O'Connor. She is a Yasui Holy Fire Karuna Reiki Master Teacher. She is an inspiration to so many. I want to say welcome, Rose.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you so much for having me on this show. It makes me so happy.
Just so happy to have you here. I would love to begin. Will you share with the listeners what triggered you to take this beautiful path of Reiki and bring that energy and that modality into your life?
Well, I think that, as with many people, that Reiki chose me, as it often does. And I was kind of at a low point in my life when I found Reiki. And so Reiki reached out to me as a way for my own self-healing, and I think it does that for many people. But then once I learned it, it was so beautiful that I had to share it. I knew I had to share it. And I also think that I've continued to teach it, because that's been a big focus for us, my husband and myself, because the more you teach it, the more you're in it and the more you're part of it, and you stay really close to Reiki. And that's, I always want to be close to it.
It's so beautiful. I have really enjoyed, you know, moving up and learning the Holy Fire as well, the Holy Fire symbol. And I actually did that a year ago in Maui, which I'm very excited. Today we are speaking to you from Maui. So if you hear the birds, if you hear the waves in the background, everyone, that is some Maui love coming your way. It just worked out fantastic for today's show. Rose, for those out there who aren't familiar with Reiki, tell us a little bit about that. What do you say to them?
Well, I often tell people that Reiki, you know, there are a lot of sort of standard explanations for Reiki, but I often tell people that Reiki is a very gentle but also very powerful method of healing your mind, body, and spirit. But it goes beyond that, because it's also a way that we connect more deeply with ourselves, with the spirit and the light that is within us, and guides us in our lives. So Reiki is so many things, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's life-changing. It really is. I really believe it is.
Absolutely.
We actually did a show on Voice America about divinely guided. Would you like to share a little bit about that for the listeners that may consider going in and listening to that beautiful show?
Well, I think that was a great show, and it seems as though the topic of the show kind of led itself, because we talked a lot with some different stories about how Reiki is a thread that runs through our lives. Once you receive Reiki and you take a class and you receive an attunement or an ignition or a placement with a teacher, you have that forever, but it tends to be like that. You know, we always talk about the headlights. You can only see as far as the headlights shine, and you follow those little breadcrumbs throughout your life. And I'll tell you, for me personally, it's been a real gift lately, because I was talking to you earlier about big changes coming up, and when you have these big changes, you can start to feel that fear and that uncertainty, and Reiki is always there, you know, like that gentle,
yes,
that gentle guidance. So we talked a lot about that in that show.
And the connection that it opens up, the door it opens up, really is a guidance. It really is.
It is, and I think, like you said, it's funny that you said you took your holy fire training in Hawaii, because I did too.
Oh my goodness, yeah. How fun!
January of 2014. It's been over 2 years now, and I have seen the difference with the holy fire, which, you know, you and I know about, but not all the listeners know about, which is a new evolution of Reiki that has come through. And I think the guidance has just exploded with holy fire. You know, the guidance seems to be more and more since holy fire has come through.
Yes. And do you feel that there is an increased energy, vibration, and expansion on the planet today?
Absolutely. And I think it's so increased that sometimes it's difficult for people to handle the energy. I'm noticing that people find that increased energy to be uncomfortable. And so I think that that's where Reiki can help so much, because you get these people that are so sensitive to energy sometimes, and they're like, all this stuff is coming at me, and I don't know how to deal with it. And that's where Reiki can really help, you know?
It's just an amazing thing to see, and to see so many people every day receiving Reiki and learning Reiki. It's so exciting.
It is exciting, and I know, you know, we're friends on Facebook, and you've seen a lot of the posts that I have seen where Reiki is now getting some really great national publicity and some major magazines, and, you know, people are really learning about it now. It's so great.
And what I am so excited to see also is the scientific studies that are coming out showing beyond a doubt what Reiki does for us. For example, our immune system.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the scientific studies are important because there are many people that need that evidence. I think for you and I, you know, we led into Reiki with our hearts, and we saw the proof. We didn't need the scientific studies, but the scientific studies are very good to support and back it up.
Yes. When I have someone come to me interested in receiving Reiki or learning Reiki, with discussion, you kind of discover, are they more left brain or right brain? So then that tells you more of what type of information to give them to help them understand it. Because the left brain, they're going to want to know some of these studies and what is out there, where right brain may be more interested in the enlightenment and the awakening that that creates. It really is fun.
It's so much fun. And some people are just more in tune with energy itself and understanding energy. And other people, they don't know that yet. They don't realize or recognize or feel that energetic connection, or realize that we're all made of energy and we're all connected, you know, through that energy. So, yeah, it's fun to teach different people.
It is. Before we go to commercial, Rose, please share your website and contact information with the listeners, and tell them what classes they could look into with you.
Okay.
And then in the next segment, let's discuss some of what your students have shared with you from their classes.
Well, our website is www.rockymountainreiki.com. And my email address is similar. It's rose@rockymountainreiki.com. And should I share my phone number? I can do that as well.
I love that, yes.
The phone number is 484-318-9380. And I'm happy to talk with anybody, answer any questions at any time. Right now, because we're kind of in the middle of a shift, we don't have a lot of classes planned, but what I suggest to people is contact me if you live close to me, and we're doing sort of impromptu gatherings when the people arise.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Opening that door for others is just so fulfilling, isn't it, Rose? It's just a beautiful, beautiful gift and blessing.
It is a blessing. It's truly a blessing.
Yes. And Reiki brought us together.
It is.
So, everyone, we are going to pop out for a commercial, but stay tuned. Rose and I will be right back. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here. I am with Rose O'Connor. We have been chatting about Reiki. We are also joining you, if you hear the birds in the background, from Maui, Hawaii, the place where Rose and I both learned our holy fire, Reiki. So Rose is a Yasui Karuna holy fire master, just as I. We are energy sisters, and we're just so happy to be here with you today. Rose, I would love to begin this segment with the discussion, because we are, why are we so happy? Please share with us, how does Reiki connect us to being happy? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that I thought about this, and quite simply, Paula, the way I look at it is that Reiki is something that once we are attuned to Reiki, we always have it right at the end of our fingertips, right? In the palms of our hands. And we can always give ourselves self-Reiki. And so we can always place our hands on our heart or our solar plexus or wherever we need Reiki. And as soon as Reiki starts to flow, because it's not about us, it's just coming through us, that divine energy, as soon as Reiki starts to flow, we begin to feel the peace of Reiki. And we can be under the most dire circumstances. We can be, you know, having a terrible day, or just had an argument with somebody or something. And once we start to feel that peace, what I feel is that peace is the absence of fear. And when fear is absent, love is present.
Oh, beautiful.
And when we feel love, when we're just feeling love, love leads us straight into joy. You know, how can we be full of love and not feel joyful? So to me, that's kind of how that connection works. It's just the way I sort of perceive it. But.
Oh, that's beautiful, Rose.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And I know with your, you know, your extensive teaching of Reiki, you've changed so many lives, so many lives. Would you like to share some of what your students have shared with you after learning Reiki and opening that modality in their lives?
Yeah, that would be great. You know, I was really pleased that I had written to all of our students, and, you know, we've had a few hundred by now in the last few years in Colorado, and I was really pleased that when I wrote to them before our Divinely Guided show, a lot of them wrote to me and wrote such beautiful things about Reiki, and I really think that the students, they often, you know, are teaching us, and so, for example, one of our students by the name of Susan told us that Reiki has taught her that she can ask for healing constantly, all the time, at any place, and in any circumstance. And that just being able to think that way has opened her mind to be more accepting to whatever is going on, because she knows that it can change and that she can change. And that she can allow things to change with Reiki. I thought that was really a neat thing that she shared.
Beautiful. And you changed so many lives.
Well, it's Reiki, right? That's what Joe says. It's
that. We're just the vessel. Yes.
We're the vessel. We are just the blessed vessel.
Yes, I love it.
another one of my students who's also a good friend, and all these people are also friends, which is great, because they become your friends when you share this with them, you know. And her name is Harriet Sinjin. She's a very wise woman. And she says that working with Reiki, especially with holy fire, reminds her of the sacredness of the human experience and that we are all connected to something greater than ourselves, that we're not just here alone, that we're all connected together. I like that.
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
And I had another email from a young woman named Liz who just took her Reiki level one last year, and she wrote me this long email, and she said, and it's so beautifully written, and she said that Reiki for her has been a clear acknowledgement of the built-in healing powers inside of us. And she points out that, you know, there are many things that make us happy or make us well. You know, when we nourish ourselves with good foods, when we have joyful thought patterns, and when we boost our energy with Reiki, then, you know, we create an environment in which we can feel happy and we can follow our joy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I know myself, Reiki has just really, truly been life-changing. And to share it with family, friends, students, and animals, of course, with the animals, the pets love us. Would you like to touch a little bit on Reiki for the animals, for those that aren't familiar with that?
Oh, my gosh. That's a whole show in itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Or several. You know, I have been so touched lately by the Reiki with animals and so drawn to that and feeling that, you know, like Harriet said, that sense of connectedness between ourselves and the animals and the plants and the trees and Mother Earth. And I really feel at this time in our world that that's part of our healing of the planet, is to bring Reiki to the animals. And they touch us so much, don't they? When we offer Reiki to them, they heal us right back. And, oh, gosh.
It's so, so beautiful. And for those out there that aren't aware, a year and a half ago, I began a monthly Reiki share, Reiki circle, I call it. It's the third Saturday of every month, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. in your time zone. If you can take a few minutes to send Reiki, love, prayer, whatever you choose, to the entire planet's animal kingdom. You don't have to be a Reiki practitioner. You can just send love. But the animals will feel it. It's this beautiful 24-hour wave of love going to the entire planet's animal kingdom. They need it. They feel it. So I ask all of you out there to please join me every month in this.
I think that working with the animals with Reiki is also a way that many people would more easily come to understand Reiki, because you meet so many people that have such a love for their animals.
Yes.
And they understand that pure love connection with their animals. And like you said, everybody, we all have the Reiki energy inside of us. It's not something that we don't have, right? It's just that by taking the training, we're just more deeply connected, and we learn how to bring that love through. And so, yeah, that's a beautiful thing that you do.
Thank you, Rose. We are down to just a couple more minutes of the show. What last words would you like to share with the listeners today?
I would just like to share that if people out there are listening to the show because they're interested in being happy, or, you know, just getting good vibes from it, that pay attention to what's going on, because you might be led to Reiki, and if you're led to it, follow it because you will never, ever regret it going down that path. It will only enhance and enrich your life in many ways.
Yes. So if you're listening today and you're intrigued, if your intuition is saying, I want to know more about this, listen to that intuition and take that in. Try a Reiki session. Perhaps learn Reiki. And as Rose, as you know, that level one, that's where we change ourselves. It's about healing ourselves and opening that door. It really is beyond words.
It really is.
Yes. And the fact that you do that for others. And I understand that you're writing a book as well.
Yes.
Tell us briefly about that before we go.
My husband and I spent 4.5 months this winter doing house and pet sitting. So we got to do Reiki with a lot of animals. And we went all over the UK. We went to England, all over England and parts of Scotland. And we stayed in other people's homes and made great friends. And we are just normal people. We're not wealthy or anything. And we found that it's entirely doable. And it holds so many opportunities. And so I wrote all about the trip and our memories and our experiences and what we've learned. And a lot about Reiki is in it. So it's going to be teaching about Reiki throughout the book, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited to read it. I'm really looking forward to it. And everyone, check out Rose's episodes on my For the Love of Reiki show on Voice America. You'll love it. She has an upcoming show this summer, which she'll be sharing different Reiki stories, which is going to be really fun and interesting. So everyone, just have a happy day. Love and hugs from Maui. We're just so happy you joined us. Rose, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, much love and blessings.
Thank you. Love and hugs. Goodbye. Paula V. signing off.